Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
I love you. Well, good evening. All right, one more time. Good evening. All right. So honored to be here with you tonight at the Well Fort Payne. I've been here many times, but it's been a while. I don't know that I've been to a service in this building, but I remember the first service over at the school. I remember when we were praying for the Well Fort Payne downtown and whatever building that was that we were holding prayer services at. So it is really cool to see the fruit of what has been planted and what continues to grow. And I just have something in my spirit, and hopefully it comes out clearly. I'm going to try to perform a miracle in a minute and fit an entire series into one service, okay? But before I do that, there's something in my spirit that I feel like I need to release, and it the Lord has taken me back to Numbers 13. Where Moses, I'll brief it for you. Moses is hearing from the Lord, and the Lord says, Moses, I want you to send 12 spies into the promised land. I want you to send 12 spies into the promised land. And of course, many of you, if you've been in church long enough, you're familiar with the story. 12 come in, 12 come out, and the report wasn't good for at least 10 of them. Right? This is what it says here. This is Numbers 13, we'll start in 27. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." They were showing him the fruit of the land. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak, and there the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan." And then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." I just want to say tonight that you are sitting in a house that carries the spirit of Joshua and Caleb. I am old enough to remember. Listen, young people, listen, I know that my friends are cooler than I am, because when I came in, I was like, man, there's a lot of young people here. My congregation is a little older, and that's fine. I love them as well. But cool people don't come to my church. I'm just going to be honest. They will one day, right? Once they catch on. I'm so far behind the trend, I'm waiting for it to catch back up with me, right? So. But I'm old enough to remember when President Barack Obama ran the first time. And he had a little slogan that he coined. Does anybody remember it? "Yes, we can." But here's the deal. It didn't start with Barack Obama. Excuse me, President Barack Obama. It started with Joshua. It started with Caleb. And I want to speak over you tonight and just say, we need a church today. The world needs a church today. America needs a church today that has the spirit of Joshua, that will not coil up within its four walls and say, this is as far as we're going and we're not going to go any farther. They need the spirit of Joshua that says, yes, we can go and take the land. Yes, there are. Listen, there's Amalekites in the land. There's Amorites in the land. There are Jebusites in the land. There are giants in the land. But praise God, we need the voice of Caleb that says, y'all be quiet. We are well able to go and overtake it. Amen? Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? Now, I'm going to try to fit a whole series in one service, okay? Let's see if we can do it. If you got your Bible with you, I'm sure you're familiar with this by now. Take it in your hand. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I can be all that it says I can be. Because he is all that it says he is. It was written for me, for my correction, for my direction, and my soon coming resurrection. O Lord, be it unto me according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, I'm honored to be here tonight. I am I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to have the friends that I have in the community that I have around me. If I have one complaint about your pastors, it's that I don't get to see them enough. I don't get to talk to them enough. I don't get to spend time with them enough. They are in high demand, as well as all the other leaders that are around us in high demand. And the sad part about that is we don't get to spend enough time together. So I am so thankful to be here tonight. Just like he said, you know, Nate called me. I've received phone calls. I remember being in one of the most miserable seasons of our life. And we were like at the start of the miserable season. We weren't even getting close to the end of the tunnel, right? And I was out in the woods praying. And Holly and the children were in the house, and I went to the woods to pray. And while I was in the woods, the Lord took me to this scripture where it says, basically it's a psalm that says, you know, I'm not going to allow your feet to trip. I'm going to make a wide place for your feet. Amen. And I came back in, and I told Pastor Holly, I said, listen, you know, this is the verse that the Lord gave me. And she said, that's crazy. She said, Pastor Madison literally just texted me. It wasn't the same verse, but it was a verse that said the same thing. Verse that said the exact same thing. He's going to broaden the place beneath your feet. Listen, you need people praying for you. You need people that are going to walk in the spirit with you. Amen. And so I'm trying to think of a big enough word. I'm incredibly grateful for you guys, and likewise, I don't know if I'd be standing here today if it weren't for you, so I'm thankful for you. Well, if you have your Bible with you, we're going to start in Luke chapter 8, and this is going to be the core of what we're talking about tonight. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 11, we set it up for you. Jesus is teaching his disciples. He is telling the very well-known parable, the parable of the sower. And so he says, listen, a sower went out to sow, and he threw some seed. He went to sow some seed. He threw some seed. Some fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came to eat it up. Some fell on stony ground, and immediately the plant just sprung up, but it couldn't make it through the heat. It couldn't make it through the heat of the day or the drought. It just couldn't make it. Some of it fell among the thorny ground, and when it tried to grow, the thorns and the weeds and all the other things choked it out. But some of it fell on good ground. Some of it fell on good ground. And this is what, when he went to explain it just a few verses later, this is what Jesus told his disciples. He said, now this is the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who hear, and they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those that when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of life. And they, listen to this key verse, key part here, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and a good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Father, I pray that as you seek to sow the word tonight, I pray that it would find good ground within our hearts. And Lord, that you would help us to cut off anything and everything that would try to choke out, steal, drown out your word, God. Father, I pray that we would so receive it that it would bear fruit to maturity. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I remember what I was going to say. Caleb and Joshua, watch this. When they sent those spies into the land, that was a strategic move. When they came out, they let the strategic move override the prophetic word. Listen to me. Don't let your strategies and your ideas and your thoughts override what God has spoken to you. If God said it, he will perform it. Amen. And all we got to do is just obey and go along with it. But I guess maybe that's how you know it's found good ground or not. I think it segues very well into this. Now, the parable of the sower. Listen, everything going on in the world today, it is there to steal the word from you. Yeah. It's there to try to steal the word for all the division, all the confusion, all the things going on in the world today. Listen, should Should I spend the rest of my life eating only vegetables and fruit? Or should I spend the rest of my life only eating red meat? Should I love Israel? Should I hate Israel? Should I be a Republican or a Democrat? Should I not be any of it? Should I love my country? Should I not love my country? Where are the Epstein files? Why are we fighting a war? Are there even any nuclear weapons or any of that kind of stuff? Every single bit of it is a thorn and a weed that would love to grow up and choke out the word of God in your life. I want to preach to you tonight this series that I like to call Focus. We're going to go through the word focus because I read that part about they bear no fruit to maturity when it falls among the weedy ground, the thorny ground. And here's the scary thing about that one. It doesn't say it doesn't bear fruit. It says it doesn't bear it to maturity. And here's what happens. We plant for many years. Things have shifted a little bit in our culture, but for many years, and it's probably still going on. We have planted the seed of the word of God in young people for so long until they get to a certain age. But it was never mature enough to outlast the thorns and the weeds and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And we think that because we bore fruit, we did okay. But did it come to maturity? And now we have people peeling off and going, well, I don't believe in church. I can worship God anywhere. I hope you worship God anywhere and everywhere. I have people come to me and they say, well, Pastor Nate, I encounter God more in the woods when I'm hunting than I do in church. And I say, well, that's good. Your pastor's been telling you for years to go have a quiet time. And maybe you encounter him more in the woods because you're finally still. You're finally away from this devilish thing right here that I just threw on the floor, right? That was a prophetic sign right there. That's where it belongs. You finally got away from all the noise long enough to encounter the Creator, right? Because there was no maturity. I don't know how to worship in a corporate setting. I don't know how to come submit to a man of God. I don't know how to join in with the body of Christ and advance the kingdom. I'm only interested in my come. I'll come get my fill up, right? And then I'll walk out the door. Amen? We ought to be bearing fruit to maturity. Does that make sense? So, if you want to bear fruit to maturity, I have five things for you tonight. And I'll emphasize some. I'll kind of skim through others. But the first one in the word focus, fire. Listen, each and every one of us has a responsibility as a believer to tend to the fire of God in our own lives. Jesus said, well, actually, John the Baptist said this. He said, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Listen, where I come from, the mainline denomination does not believe that you can be saved unless you get baptized in water. I'm not here to argue with that tonight. But what I will point out is they put no emphasis on the baptism of Jesus. They put no emphasis on being baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire. When's the last time you said, Lord, baptize me in fire? We need the fire of God in our lives. Listen, if you want to, I've got a big old burn pile in my yard. And you know what it's covered in? Weeds. Thorns, and all other kinds of things. They grow up around that kind of stuff. You know how I'm going to deal with it? I'm going to burn it. Yeah. And I'm not just going to light on fire and walk away. I'm going to burn it till it's gone. Because I don't want to look at it anymore. If you want to deal with the distractions in your life, allow the fire of God to get up on the inside of you and burn away everything that does not pertain to your future. Listen, Elisha's out. You guys know Elisha, right? He's the prophet, came after Elijah. He's a Christ type. Elijah means Jehovah is God. Elisha means Jehovah is salvation. He's a Christ type. He's out plowing behind 12 yoke of oxen. Here comes Elijah one day to do what the word of the Lord said. He's getting ready to anoint Elijah. He throws his cloak on him. That was Elisha's invitation to come be a disciple. Do you know what Elisha's decision started with after that invitation? The same thing you should start with. Started with a fire. He burned everything that did not pertain to his future. He burned everything that did not pertain to his call. And I have grown, listen, I've been around in church my whole life. I have grown up and walked through this thing long enough to see people passionate, on fire for God, willing to sell everything, willing to do anything, willing to go through whatever lengths. And one day the fire goes out and they lose the connection to their calling. Listen, you're called in fire. You're called to fire. You're called to walk with fire. Amen. We ought to be the most passionate people on the face of the earth. Listen, no Muslim, no Mormon, no Buddhist, no Hindu, no atheist should be more passionate than you about what you believe and who you believe in. Amen. We ought to be fiery Christians. Amen. We ought to burn with a passionate love. But listen, our God is an all-consuming fire. Therefore, we should be all-consumed with the fire. Make sense? Says he's got a fire in his eyes. That's why in Hebrews, we're called to look unto the author and the finisher of our faith. If we're going to finish with faith, then we better continue with the fire. Amen? Stir the fire inside of your heart. Fire. The second thing you need in life is order. You need order in your life. You need the order of God in your life. He made it very simple for us, and I'll get to it here in just a minute. But when, listen, when things are out of order, they don't work anymore. Right. When your life gets out of order, it doesn't work the way that it was meant to work. And then Christians get frustrated with God, and God's going, look, I gave you an order, and you're out of order. Why do you expect this to work? Yeah. Right? And then they want to point their finger at the church or the pastor or whatever encounter experience they had and said, you're wrong, you did this. No, no, you're out of order. Yeah. Yeah. But we serve such a loving God. He made this so simple for us. Yeah. What is the order of God? Well, I'm going to read it to you. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first. Yeah. Watch this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and all things were made through him, and nothing was made except that which was made through him. Yeah. In the beginning. In the beginning, watch this. Genesis chapter 1, I'll quote it for you. I know the Bible real well. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God, trust not in your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. This is real simple. If we will get what's first to be first. Yeah. Revelation chapter 2. John, the apostle John, is caught up in the spirit of the Lord is what he says. And God gives him 7 letters to write. And he's writing to the church of Ephesus. And he says, listen, church, I see your works. I see your labor. I see all the things that you're doing. You've done a lot of great things. But nevertheless, I have this against you. You have lost your first love. Your first love. That word there in the Greek is the word protos. It's where we get the word prototype. The first love. My wife and I, we got married 12 years ago now. Right? And happy late anniversary to you guys. Listen, you can tell we're J3-8ers because we got married right after graduation. So we're all, I remember being in their wedding. I remember going through graduation, being in their wedding, and then going home and getting sick as a dog because all of us had stomach virus. Listen, you live together, you pray together, you go through things together, right? What was I talking about? Prototype. The first, we got married 12 years ago. And one of the first things we did was, of course, we honeymooned. And then we came home, we packed a Honda Civic, and we drove to Alaska. And we started by going to New Orleans first. So it was on the way, right? We went to New Orleans. But one of the things we decided to do was read Keith Green's No Compromise book, biography about Keith Green on the way to Alaska. It was one of the things that we did. And coming up on this anniversary, I felt like the Lord said, I want you to read it. I read it together again. I want to take you back to those foundational moments. I want to take you back to those first things. When's the last time you did a heart check and you said, Lord, search me. Yeah. Know me. Listen, that comes out of Psalm 139. The psalmist is writing. He starts the psalm and he says, Lord, you have searched me. Lord, you have known me. Yeah. And he writes through this whole thing. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You know everything about me, God. And he gets down to the end of the psalm and he says, Lord, search me and know me. In other words, take me back to that place where you're searching me again, where you know me again, where I know you the way that I should. Amen. Amen. Order in your life. Focus on your fire. Focus on the order in your life. Put what's first where it should be. Listen, too many Christians live their life on shuffle. Yeah. My children, we have four children. Yeah, they're all here with us tonight, right? They're running around here somewhere. And my third child was talking to my second child, and she said, what's shuffle mean? And Micaiah, my oldest boy, he said, that means it doesn't play in order. Listen, too many Christians just take things as they come. Just that things are out of order. They just live life on shuffle. Whatever song's next, that's what's going to play, right? There's no intentionality of seeking God, of pursuing God. Listen, do you know you have a ministry? Do you know you have a ministry? Listen to this. Mark chapter 1. It says, now after John the Baptist was thrown into prison, it says Jesus came preaching the gospel and saying the time is fulfilled. Listen, I know the days are dark. And I know there's probably darker days ahead. But you know what? God is still fulfilling his time. Jesus waited until the darkest moment. Probably the most prominent voice in religion in Israel at the time was John the Baptist. So much so that the kings were scared of him. They thought he was a prophet because he was. And he's like, oh, he's in prison now? Now I can go preach. The time is fulfilled. I believe we're living in the days of fulfillment, guys. I believe we're not just living in the end times. We are living in the days of Jesus' return. You need to grab that. Look at me. Everybody say this with me. Jesus is alive. And Jesus is coming back soon. This is not anything a part of what I'm preaching tonight. But watch this. I've been in two situations in the last 10 days. I made a phone call the other day. Guy answered the call. He goes, tell me some good news, Nate. And I kind of stumbled because, you know, it's a guy I work for sometimes. And I said, Jesus is alive. He goes, Jesus is alive. Not 4 or 5 days later, I was sitting in a situation, room full of men. Somebody was explaining something. And after he got done, somebody else goes, tell us the good news. And this time I was quicker. I said, Jesus is alive. Listen, it ought to be on the tip of our tongue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have a responsibility, whether you live in this city or another surrounding city, to win that city, to win those around you. Amen? Amen. Not, watch this, not just to reach them, to win them. Amen? Too long the church has been asking, how do we reach more people, instead of how do we win souls? Amen? I hope that makes sense. We shouldn't be living life on shuffle. We should be living life on purpose, according to the word of the Lord. Amen. You have the fire of God. You have the order of God. Get the first thing first. C, right? The C in focus. It stands for clarity. In the days in which we live, and this is probably the one I'll spend the most time on, the days in which we live, we have never had more of a need of clarity than today. We don't know what the truth is. We don't know who to believe anymore. But I can tell you this. This right here still stands. It's not changed. It's not wavered. And guess what? It won't bend to your opinion or anybody else's. It won't bend to your experience or anybody else's. It will be what only God intended it to be. Amen? It will not change. We need clarity. Listen, clarity is what you have when you hear him. You need to hear the word of the Lord. You need to know his voice. Jesus said that, right? My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. Clarity is what you have when you hear him. Luke chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus is leading his disciples, three of them anyway, Peter, James, and John, up the mountain of transfiguration. And a cloud comes down and visits. Well, hold on. First of all, Elijah and Moses show up to visit with Jesus and to have a conversation with him. Peter, James, and John are sitting there in awe. Of course, Peter had to say something. Should we build a house here, one for each of you, a little tabernacle for each of you? But then a cloud settles in. And the voice above all other voices speaks. And he says something very simple. And I want you to get these two words in your heart. He says, "This is my beloved son." And he says these two words, "Hear him." Good. Listen, if you're going to hear the voice of the Lord in these days, you need clarity. I define confusion like this: two competing voices. You can have more than two, but ultimately that's the start of confusion, where there are two competing voices, competing for attention, competing for influence, competing. Listen, anything, this is what Paul said. He said, we cast down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If you're listening to people that would exalt themselves or exalt what they think above the knowledge of God, you need to shut it down. Yeah. Amen. I can tell you how to get clarity real quick. Shut down every other voice that's not his. Yeah. Shut down every voice that's not his. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Hear him. You start to hear his calling. You start to hear his purpose. The word comes alive on the inside of you. You know that he's directing your thoughts and your steps. That's what you have when you have clarity. Well, listen to this. If you're taking notes, and I know, listen, your pastor's smarter than I am. I'm just going to say it. I went through 5 years of discipleship. I think he went through three, right? With Pastor Greg. I was there for 5 years. Not one time did I hear the word orthodoxy. But that's all anybody wants to talk about now. And I went to y'all's website a few months ago, and it's like all the creeds and the stuff. And I'm like, I don't even know what this stuff is. All I know is how to walk with Jesus. Right? That's what matters, right? Here are the... So, all that to say, if you're taking notes, this would be a good time to write something down. Threats to clarity. These are the threats to your clarity. Listen to this. Your emotions. Moses, I want you to go strike that rock. No, I want you to go speak to that rock. But because Moses was angry, hopefully you know this story well enough. Because Moses was angry, instead of obeying the word of the Lord to the extent that he said it, he struck the rock and water came out. Now, the good news is that God can still perform his word despite our failures. Yeah. But the bad news is because of his emotions and his inability to deal with that, he got to see the promised land, but he never got to go in it. Yeah. He got left on the outside looking in. Your emotions, your reputation. You have a Syrian commander in Numbers, in 2 Kings chapter 5. And he has leprosy. His name's Naaman. And he is told by a servant girl, listen, there's a prophet in my nation and he can heal you. And so he goes to Elisha. And Elisha doesn't even bother to come to the door. Elisha's like, hey, buddy, Gehazi, go tell this guy that if he will just wash in the Jordan 7 times, he'll be healed. Doesn't even come to the door. Naaman leaves frustrated. Still sick as well. You can get frustrated, you're still going to be sick. Right? Leaves frustrated and goes, are these other rivers not better than the Jordan? And he sent his servant out to see me. Are these... In other words, I'm too good to lower myself down to what God asked me to do, what the word of the Lord was. Your reputation, your inability to be undignified from time to time, your inability to humble yourself will keep you from hearing the voice of God clearly. You preserving your reputation. This is what it says about Jesus in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus made himself of no reputation. Listen, if anybody had the right to come in glory, but he chose not to. Even Paul himself, he said, listen, if I wanted to glory in the flesh, if I wanted to glory in my reputation, here's my rap sheet. Here's my qualifications. But I'm not going to boast in that. So your emotions, your reputation, listen to this one, your ambitions. your ambitions. King Saul, you guys remember King Saul? King Saul was sent to go utterly destroy and wipe out the Amalekites. But because he had ambitions in his heart, because he was seeking glory, he decided to not fully fulfill what God had asked him to do. And Samuel told him, when you were little in your own eyes, but before you had all your sights set on glory, before you had your sights set on all these ambitions, it will cloud your clarity. Amen? Yeah. It's the last one of these. Your emotions, your reputation, your ambitions. This one's simple. Your temptations. The book of James says it like this, that sin is conceived when temptation meets your desire. Your temptations will cloud your clarity in these days. I'm tempted to do this. I'm tempted to do that. I'm tempted to say this, right? I'm tempted to let them have a piece of my mind. I'll skim through this real quick. It says that when Eve saw that the fruit was pleasant to the eyes and good for food. In other words, it was tempting. This is why we need the next few things that will restore your clarity. Listen, if you're living in these days where there's a million voices out there and you don't know who to believe and you know what to do or whatever, these are three things that will help keep your clarity. One, time in the Word, daily. Daily interaction with the truth. Amen. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the vision of the soul and the spirit. Listen, the word of God can get down in you and tell you where your reputation is, and tell you where your ambitions are, and tell you where your emotions are, and tell you where your temptations are. The word of God can even get down inside of you and deal with the, well, I've always been this way. Well, that's how my daddy was. That's just how I was taught. The word of God can deal with that and teach you something better. This is what Jesus said. He said, come unto me, all you who labor, you're weary, you're heavy laden. And he said, I will give you rest. And that's good. But most people stop right there. The very next thing he says is learn from me and you will find rest for your soul. Amen. You and I need to have daily interaction with the truth. My wife used to be a teller at a bank. And the reality is that you could identify a counterfeit bill because you spent so much time with the real bills. You spend enough time with the truth, you'll be able to spot from a mile away something that's false, something that's got an agenda behind it, something that's trying to manipulate, something that's trying to tear you down, something that's trying to cloud your vision or steal the word of God. Amen? Amen. Daily interaction with the truth. Restrictions. Restrictions can help restore your clarity. Listen to this. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Happy is he. You need to have restrictions around your life, convictions around your life. Amen?
Amen.
Fasting will restore your clarity.
Yeah.
Fasting will make things so clear. Your mind will clear up. Your heart will clear up. Things will be as they should. Cut out anything that would compete with the word of God.
Good.
Convictions. Convictions, along with that, will restore your clarity. They keep you connected to the calling of God.
Yeah.
When Samson got ready to be born in Judges 13, the angel of the Lord came to his mom and said, listen, no alcohol. Don't cut his hair.
Yeah.
Don't let him touch a dead body. Why? Because he's got a calling on his life.
Yeah.
With every calling should come a cross. With every calling should come a conviction. With every calling, there should come a commitment to, if I'm going to see this fulfilled in my days, then these are things I'm going to need to maintain as I walk this out.
Yeah.
Because I don't want the thorns and the weeds and everything else to grow up and steal the word of God
yeah.
out of my heart. Let me ask you a question. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says we ought to take every thought captive. Yeah. Do you want to know who's really good at taking thoughts captive? The devil. Yeah. He captivates us from day to day. Yeah. As millions, billions probably of people scroll from one thing to the next. And you and I are supposed to be receiving the thoughts that are higher than all our thoughts, the ways that are higher than our ways. But we lower ourselves down to the entertainment of the world. Let me do it. Let's do a real quick exercise on yourself. Nobody has to raise your hand or whatever. But let me just ask you this. How many thoughts have you had today that started with something you saw on here? Versus how many thoughts have you had today because of something you saw in the Word? Amen? Amen. We are called to take every thought captive. Good. You have the fire. You have order. You have clarity. We have understanding. If we're going to stay focused, one of the things we need to do is focus on our understanding. I love this one. To have the proper knowledge or outlook regarding a skill or circumstance. Intelligence, insight, discernment, comprehend. Listen, Jesus said that we should discern the times. Yeah. We should allow the Word and the Spirit to discern our hearts, to discern even His heart. It's the Spirit who searches the heart of God and reveals it to the heart of man. Amen. Amen. I love this verse right here. This comes out of Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories, glory in this. Let him who boasts, boast in this. If you're going to brag about anything, if you're going to glory in anything, glory in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight. We know through the book of Proverbs that understanding is knowledge of the Holy One. Listen, the more knowledge you gain of the Holy One, the more glory you get in your life. Yeah. Amen. The more glory you get to experience. And that's what we need, the glory of God. Yeah. We need the glory of God. Yeah. Things are transformed in the midst of the glory of God. Amen. We need understanding in our lives. Watch this. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will punish all who are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Egypt, Judah, Edom, the people of Ammon, Moab, and all who are in the farthest corners who dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations, uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are, watch this, uncircumcised of heart. They don't have understanding hearts. We ought to allow the Lord to circumcise our heart. How does he do that? Through understanding. Yeah. We get into the Word and we encounter something we've never seen before. And the Spirit of wisdom and revelation comes upon us. And we encounter the glory of God. And it transforms us. That's what Paul said. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Amen. It ties very well into the last thing. Take every thought captive. Captive to what? Captive to the Word. I want to be captivated by the Word. I want to be captivated by our God, by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Uncircumcised of heart. A carnal heart has no understanding. It can't. It needs to be circumcised. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us, Lord, to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Pastor Spencer and I were just having a conversation in the back room there. There's a guy I've been trying to get a hold of for the last two or three days. There's this guy I do business with. And I've called him. And he hasn't responded. He hasn't answered. And that's kind of unusual. I thought, well, maybe they're on vacation. And so I called him, and his wife answered the phone. And I said, well, is he there? And she said, well, he's asleep right now. I said, well, you guys on vacation? And she's like, no, we're in the hospital. They're not sure if his kidneys are working right. How quick your life can turn. Lord, teach us to number our days so that we'll walk soberly in the days in which we live. Amen. You only get one shot at it. Life is, and these words of your pastor, quoting the scripture, isn't life but a vapor. It passes quickly. Now, I have faith, and I am praying for that man to be healed and be better than he ever was. But oh, how quickly things can. Lord, teach us to number our days. Go back to the book of Revelation, to those seven letters we were talking about earlier. Jesus said it over and over at the end of those letters. He would say this: let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the church. In other words, not just to hear it, but to understand what I'm trying to communicate with you. Have you ever asked the Lord, not just what are you saying to me, but Lord, why are you telling me that? Yeah. There's a reason that you let me be in that instance. There's a reason that you spoke to me. There's a reason that I was in that conversation and so-and-so said something and it struck my heart, pierced me to the heart, whatever it may be. Lord, why? Not just what, but why? Lord, give me an understanding heart. This is the last one. You guys have been good. You've hung with me through all of this. This is the last one. Fire, order, clarity, understanding. The last one ties us back to the beginning. We got to be sowers. If we're going to stay focused in this generation, if we're going to stay focused in these days, we need to be committing to sowing the word of God. How does that parable start? A sower went out to sow seed. Amen. What seed? The seed of the word of God. Yeah. Whether you realize it or not, you're sowing seeds every day. Yeah. You're sowing seeds every single day. You're sowing seeds into your marriage. You're sowing seeds into your children. You sow seeds into your coworkers, right? You guys have heard this before, Proverbs 18, verse 20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. And from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love it will eat its fruit. You ever heard the term, you're going to eat those words?
Yeah.
You're going to eat those words one day. The word of God literally says that you will eat the fruit of your lips. Now watch this. James chapter 3. I'll just kind of summarize it for you. This is what James says. We all stumble. But if any man does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. He's a perfect man. And he goes on to say this: with the mouth, we bless God and we curse our neighbor. I want to tell you something tonight. As somebody who loves the prophetic, who desires the prophetic, who's walked around it, maybe even in it at some times, not everything you say is prophetic.
Yeah.
I promise it's not. Everything you read, it's not prophetic. It might be one day, but not everything you read is prophetic. Not every time you see the number 1111 on a clock, it's not prophetic. You just looked at the clock, okay? Maybe sometimes it is. I'm not trying to steal anything away from you, but I will try to set this up for you. Not everything is prophetic, but everything you say is either a blessing or a curse. And it is a seed.
Yeah.
It is a seed. His word is a seed. And listen, what you sow, you will see.
Yeah.
You will reap it. Listen, we ought to seed the word of God until we see the word of God. Amen. We ought to sow it until we see it.
Yeah.
We ought to sow it into our children until we see it start to come out. It ought to be their vocabulary. It should be the vocabulary, the vernacular of my marriage. It should be the vernacular. It should be the DNA of my business. I sat down last night with a ministry in our community, not any way connected to any of our people here at the Well. And it's something that we are somewhat poised to inherit. And I said, listen, guys, it's a ministry that takes care of single moms and their children. And with that comes a lot of homelessness. It comes a lot of issues. It comes, you know, people with baggage. And right now they have somebody who's been indoctrinated in the world, who has, you know, has all of her degrees. And, you know, she has a very clinical type mind. And you know what? To be quite honest, I'm really impressed with her. But I had to tell that board last night. I said, listen, when I came into this, I was under the understanding that we were a ministry. And in 20 years, if you want this to be a clinic or you want it to be a ministry, you are right now at a crossroads and you're going to have to choose which one. I'm not saying there's not a need for that at times, but are you going to lead with the gospel, the word of God? Are you going to lead with the Holy Spirit? Are you going to lead with some degree that you got from some secular professor somewhere who doesn't even believe in God? Does it make sense? Pastor Holly saved me. How did I even get there? I'm sowing seeds. There we go. All of a sudden it clicked. I'm sowing seeds for the next 20 years. Are you going to be a ministry in 20 years? Let me ask you this. Do you want your life to look like the Word of God in the next 20 years? Then start sowing the Word of God now.
Yeah, that's right.
Next year, the year after. I was walking this morning, and I caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror as I was walking by, and I wasn't real satisfied with it, to be honest. And all of a sudden, this really happened. All of a sudden, that Switchfoot song came on in my head. This is your life. Are you who you want to be? I'm like, brother, you need to go to the gym. So, this is your life. Are you who you want to be? If not, start sowing the Word of God. Start cursing the things that need to be cursed and start blessing the things that need to be blessed. I'm not going to sow curses into my marriage. Well, you always, or you never. You're just like your mama or your daddy or whoever to try to sow insult or manipulate what I want out of my marriage. Listen, if somebody's dealing with deception, insecurity, lack of confidence, whatever it may be, you don't look at them and go, you're insecure. That's not how you minister to that. You start to sow the word into it. God has not, this is how we've handled our children. God's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So that's who you are, and that's who you're going to be. Amen? It's either blessing or curse. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Therefore, hide the word in your heart. Amen. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So get the word of God in your heart. Plant it deep. And don't let anything in the world steal what God plants in your heart. Amen. I'm just trying to get across to you today that in the world in which we live, in the many, many voices, I want you to bring fruit to maturity. Let me show you what that looks like. We talked about Joshua earlier. It's a great place to land. Joshua made a statement. He said, "As you choose you this day who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." But watch this. He didn't say that when he was a young man. He said it pretty near to the end of his life. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let me ask you this question. What have you been sowing recently? Look, we'll end where we started again. It says they spoke badly about the land. Caleb was trying to quieten them down. And it says everybody else gave a bad report about the land. Man, I can't stand Fort Payne. The traffic gets on my nerves. The city leaders are this or that or whatever. The school system is this or that. We don't have enough restaurants. They spoke poorly about the land. Listen, that's your promised land out there. That's your inheritance out there. That doesn't mean you don't have battles to fight. Amen. I've had those conversations with myself. Where is the hand of the Lord? Where is the blessing of God? You know what's funny? I read through all of Paul's letters. I read through the book of Acts, and I don't find one time where Paul, as far as I know, questioned God. Your pastor's going to correct me if I'm wrong, because he's smarter than I am. I don't find one time where he said, "God, where are you?" The man was shipwrecked in the water. The man was stoned with rocks multiple times. So much to the point of some people believe that he actually died and was resurrected by the Lord. The word says that they left him for dead, and he got up and walked away after everybody left. And never once did he say, where are the blessings of God? You're going to go through battles for your inheritance. You're going to go through battles for the kingdom. You're going to go through battles for the promises of God. But they are still, last time I checked, yes and amen. And what we sow, we will reap. Amen. We ought to have a fire burning in our heart for the word and the spirit of God. We ought to have our life in order where God comes first in all that we do. We ought to seek to maintain, guard the clarity of our heart so that no other voice can exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. We ought to glory in the fact that we understand and that we know him. And then we ought to go out and be passionate sowers of blessing where blessing is needed, curses where curses is needed, are needed. I remember driving through this city shortly before they planted the church. And it may still be there. I used to live in Gadsden. I'd have to come in and out up here, up 59. And there's a big billboard that was for a psychic. Those are the types of things you ought to look at and say, Lord, I curse that. I pray you'd save the person, but I curse the business and I curse the spirit behind it. Amen. Sowing and speaking are the same thing. Amen. Why don't you, you wanted to end it tonight, didn't you? You good? You good if I end it? Why don't you stand with me tonight? Oh, I'm 1 minute over. I'm sorry. I almost did it. Lord, I thank you for this church tonight. God, I thank you for every heart here. And Lord, I know that they have a heart for you. I know that they have a heart to seek you, to know you, to understand you. Lord, but I also know that the devil is after every single one of us, that the world is after every single one of us. I know that there's Amalekites out there. I know there's giants in the land. And so, God, I pray that you would teach us as we walk with you to guard our hearts, to guard our even our devotional time where we listen for your voice, God, where we seek your hand, God. Guard us. Guard our fire, Lord. Help us to guard it and to burn bright for you, Jesus, to live with passion for you. Pray you'd set us in order where we need to be set in order. And, Lord, that you would make us effective sowers of the word of God in this community. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor Spencer, come save me.
Come on, let's put your hands together and say thank you to Pastor Nate for that word. You can stay standing because I'm not going to take very long. I want to say one thing, and it's a question. I don't want to say it. I want to pose it as a question. Are you focused? And then you go, well, I think so. Then you ain't. But here's how you know if you're focused. Can you define what you're focused on? And if you can't define it, you need to get in focus. Right? I was working with a camera earlier this week, and the lens, you could zoom, but then you could bring it into focus. And when you got it to where it was in focus, you had clarity, like he was talking about. If you can't define what it is that God has called you, not just your good ideas, there's a difference in good ideas and vision. If you can't define the vision that God has for you, for your family, for where you are in life, then you're not focused. But when you will take time and you'll go through this, and how do you get focused? Fire, order, clarity, understanding, sowing. Those things will bring it about in your life. So thank you, Pastor Nate. Appreciate it. Incredible word. You need to check your focus. So may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, may he smile all over you and give you his name. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. We hope to see you guys Sunday morning.